Melinda presents this unabridged recording of
Pulse by Felix Francis, narrated by Claire Corbett.
Part 1. November. Chapter 1. I didn't expect the patient to die, but of course he did. And it was my fault. While my colleagues told me that it wasn't and I shouldn't blame myself, I knew better. I was a bad person, and my inadequacy and foolishness were the reasons the man died. I felt wretched. The man had arrived at the hospital by ambulance, unconscious but still breathing, and with a weak but rapid heartbeat.
"Unknown middle-aged male,"
said one of the paramedics loudly, as he handed the patient over to the hospital emergency staff.
"Found fully dressed but unresponsive in a cubicle of a male restroom in the main grandstand at Cheltenham Racecourse at about 7:10 this evening."
I looked up at the clock on the wall. It was now 8:30.
"There is no indication of how long he'd been there," the paramedic continued. "The last race today was at 4:05, so it could have been a while. Both pupils large and unresponsive, blood pressure high but stable at 170 over 110, pulse 180. He has symmetrical breathing and O2 saturation is at 95%.
Body temperature high at 39 degrees Celsius, but not extreme.
No obvious trace of trauma, but fitted with a collar as a precaution and given supplementary oxygen at 4 litres per minute on site and since, plus 250 millilitres of IV saline en route. No sign of awareness throughout."
"Blood sugar?" I asked.
"Tested on site at 120.
Retested in the ambulance. Same result."
120 milligrams per deciliter was well within the normal range, so the man wasn't hypoglycemic.
Very low in blood sugar. My first guess for someone unconscious with such a high pulse rate.
"ECG?"
I asked. The paramedic pulled a long strip of pink paper from his pocket and handed it to me.
"Shows typical SVT.
I glanced at the electrocardiogram trace on the paper, and it certainly looked like SVT.
Supraventricular tachycardia, a malfunction of the heart's electrical system, resulting in a resting pulse rate in excess of 150 beats per minute.
"Any medications?"
I asked.
"Nothing on him, and nothing given other than the saline."
"Right," I said. "Thank you." The paramedics collected their gear and departed, off to another Saturday night crisis. I looked down at the man lying face up on the gurney in front of me. He was probably in his early 40s, just like me, and he didn't look unusual or remarkable, merely another patient. He had olive brown skin with black curly hair that was greying slightly at the temples, and he was clean shaven under the oxygen mask. He was wearing a white shirt, spread open wide across his chest for the application of the ECG electrodes, together with navy pinstripe trousers, black socks, and highly polished, laced-up shoes. As the senior physician on duty in the Cheltenham General Hospital Accident and Emergency Department, I was now responsible for his well-being, and I could almost feel the penetrating stares of the three other members of my team burning into me as they waited for my instructions.